Surah Bayina. If you remember, I mentioned this surah a couple of times because you're going to see a surah that was revealed in Medina for the Jews and for the Christians, which is a society that we live in now. And so this is directly the kind of verses that apply to a situation like what we're living in today. The wife of the Prophet ﷺ, name was, or one of the wives was Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And her father was one of the chiefs of the Jews in Medina. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they got married later on, she became Muslim, and he asked her, when was the first time that Islam came to your heart? And this is basically almost like saying, like, you know, how did you become Muslim? And she mentions the story. She said the first time, like, the first rays of Noor that entered her heart from Islam was when she was a little girl. And that was the day that the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina. And she said that she was in her garden and her father and her uncle had gone out to where the Prophet ﷺ was coming. You know, in the Tala al-Badr alayna and the whole Medina going out to meet the Prophet ﷺ, there was also Jews out there waiting to see if this was the Prophet that was mentioned in their books. And she said that they went out, and when they came back with darkness on their face. And she said, I heard my uncle ask my father, is he the Prophet that was mentioned in our scriptures? She said, my father said, yes, he is. And they had no doubt about it. And then her uncle asked, then what are we going to do? And he replied that we're going to be his enemies till the final day. And that was the path that they took. And this is a little glimpse as we introduce Surah Bayyinah. This surah discusses three issues. Number one, the position of Ahlul Kitab regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their position, the Jews and the Christians. The second issue that's mentioned here in the surah is the issue of sincerity, of ikhlas, in deed and action, with all, something that all the messengers taught. The sincerity of deed and action. Sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, the winners and losers in the afterlife, in the end. The winners and the losers.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين حتى تأتيهم البينة رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة فيها كتب قيمة وما تفرق الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءتهم البينة وأمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيم الصلاة ويؤتي الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه.
We know from the Quran and from the Sunnah that the Jews who were there in Medina, they were awaiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew that the messenger would be brought and they were awaiting his arrival. And this verse is very clear that the Jews and Christians are kuffar. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. And so, the Jews and Christians are kuffar, whether they know it or they do not know it. Whether someone's ignorant, whether they know about Islam or they don't know about Islam, they are kuffar. This is for sure. Because there's a common theme amongst Muslims today that they want to say, oh, they're not kuffar, they're Jews and Christians. Which is not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them kuffar. أَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. So whether they know it or not, whether they know about Islam or not, they're ignorant, but that the ruling upon them is different depending on how much about Islam that they know, but they still have the label of kuffar. In verse 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Actually, this surah, another name for it, is surah لَمْ يَكُنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَكُنِ, and then الَّذِينَ there, and then you see the word مُنْفَكِّينَ. Coming up later. لَمْ يَكُنْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that those who disbelieved, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, those who disbelieved from the أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ, and the idol worshippers, the polytheists, مُنْفَكِّينَ. This is the word here, مُنْفَكِّينَ. فَكْ is to undo something. مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ, until the clear guidance would come to them. If you say, and even in Egypt, I know that they still say this, if a little girl says to her mother to take off the bracelet, she will say, فُكِّيهَا, meaning to undo it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they will not undo themselves from the misguidance that they're upon, حَتَّى, until تَأْتِيَهُمْ الْبَيِّنَةِ, until the clear guidance comes to them, the clear evidence. And the Jews, they actually used to say to the Ansar that a prophet will come and we will join him and we will kill you, قَتْلَ عَادٍ وَإِرَمٍ. As Ad and Iram were destroyed, we'll destroy you similarly. And so when the Prophet ﷺ came with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was the bayyinah. The tawheed, the Prophet ﷺ, the Quran, Islam, all of that was the clear evidence that came to them, and they were not going to desist from their falsehood till that came. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That's explaining what is the bayyinah in verse 2. رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, a messenger from Allah, يَتْلُو, reciting, صُحُفًا مُطَهَّرًا. And when a person, and I know in a lot of countries, they look at the Quran like this, صُحُفًا مُطَهَّرًا, purified pages. Even so much so in Afghanistan, I know when they were trying to collect weapons, you would tell a person, do you have any weapons here? And they'll say, no, this is like past, not recent times. And then they'll pull out a Quran, they'll say, swear by the Quran that you don't have any weapons. And the people would surrender their weapons. They do anything but swear falsely on these purified pages. Suhufan mutahara. This is the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that these are suhufan mutahara, and that just shows how much a person should be respecting the Quran. And we're not talking about just respecting the pages of the Quran, but respecting the message of the Quran. And respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, that is the true respect for the Quran. رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو suhufan mutahara. And suhufan mutahara, purified pages, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, purified from all falsehood, and purified from all doubt, and purified from all hypocrisy, and purified from all misguidance. This is Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then in verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمًا, that in it, in that Quran, are kutub. Kutub here can either mean books, or kutub could mean laws. قَيِّمًا means correct and straight. The reason we say laws, if you'll notice the verse which we hear in Ramadan, Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. You've heard that. كُتِبَ there means prescribed upon you. It's been made law upon you. So the كُتِبَ has that meaning of laws. فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ means straight and upright laws from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the meaning of كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ meaning that the Qur'an, there was the Torah, the Injil, those books and the wisdom of those books were all brought together in the Qur'an. So much so that the Qur'an is suffice for a person. They don't need to get a Torah and get an Injil and then look through them and then give a khutbah from all three books. The Qur'an is suffice for them, is enough. فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ. So we see in these verses that they weren't going to desist from their falsehood and misguidance until the clear evidence came for them. The clear evidence, the messenger with this book which has كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ. Then in verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ.
And this verse actually, when I tried thinking of a word for it, and I found in Al-Mawrid, the word is uglification. Okay? And I wrote it on Microsoft Word and gave me a little red line underneath it. The uglification of what they did. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they did not become divided. Verse 4, that they did not become divided, those who were given the books, until after the clear guidance came to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is disgracing them here in this verse and shaming them that they only chose the path of disbelief after the clear guidance came to them. And like the story we mentioned about Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, her father, that when they knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger, that after it was clear, they chose that path. And even when I mentioned the story, some of you were even shocked that they would take that path. But that's the path that they took. And you can see the wretchedness of that path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, they knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانُوا يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Meaning that they used to make dua with the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that they would say, Allahumma, their dua would be to the effect of, Allahumma ansurna, whenever they would have enemies, they would say, Allahumma ansurna alayhim, O Allah, grant us victory over these people. Bin Nabi al-Mab'uth the Akhir al-Zaman, with the Prophet that's to be sent at the end of time. So they would put the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name in their dua. This was a very popular dua that they would say amongst themselves. And so they knew him very well, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here we see وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ. Many times when we say Jews and Christians, people think that it's only one sect. But indeed that they've been divided, and as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the Muslims will copy them. And they'll divide in similar ways. But they're not one. But only when the clarity and the truth came to them, that's when the division started happening. And I noticed in some communities amongst the Muslims, a lot of times the brothers and sisters are all together until they get a taste of knowledge. They start learning a little bit about Islam. And it's almost like putting a gun in the hand of a child. You know, they're very young in their knowledge of Islam, but they're holding that gun and they start blowing all the Muslims away. Right? And they start saying that you're in hellfire, and you're in hellfire, and you're in hellfire, and I'm the only one that's saved. And then they're ripped apart from the seams because of the little knowledge that they had. They get a little bayina, and then they become divided. And this was the way of the Jews. The Christians, that this division came after their knowledge. Abdullah ibn Salam, and there, not all Jews were like this. And you'll notice in this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse 1, He didn't say the Jews. He said, أَلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, those who disbelieved. It's a verb. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. Al-Mushrikeen is a noun. And so the action that came upon these Jews and Christians was an action that they did, that they were on guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before that, and then the clear evidence came to them, and they did kufr after that had come to them. The mushrikeen were on falsehood from the very beginning. And so it became a noun for them. Mushrikeen, here you see, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So it was a path they took. And so not all of them were like this. Because you see the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Christians. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. When they hear what was revealed to the Prophet, تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمِ. You'll see their eyes bursting forth with tears. مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. From what they know of the truth. And of those people was Najashi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the companions that were there in Al-Habasha and they recited Surah Maryam, he was crying. And he said that there's no difference between what Isa brought and this. And the Prophet ﷺ prayed Salatul Ghaib for him. He prayed Salatul Janazah for him, even though he had died in Al-Habasha. And he said, your brother has passed away today. Matil yawm rajulun salih. The Prophet ﷺ said that today a pious man has died. And they all stood up and they prayed Salatul Janazah for Al-Najashi. And so it wasn't everybody. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, you'll see that in the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, for example, وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed, a party of them, a group of them, will cover the truth even though they know. Even though that they know the truth, لَيَكْتُمُونَ, they'll hide it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ, a group of them, and not all of them, had done this. And so you'll see that justice in the words. Many times when Muslims give their speeches, their rallies and so on, we're the ones who generalize. And then the people react to that generalization, that how can you say this and how is this so? And it's actually the mistake of the person who's commenting, that isn't Quranic language. But that's human language. And that's where the people recognize the injustice in that. And then in verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا. And this shows, and this is about the sincerity, about purifying intentions, that they were not commanded. Let's talk about the Jews and Christians. إِلَّا, except لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, that they would worship Allah مُخْلِصِينَ, sincerely لَهُ الدِّينَ, that all the religion was sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حُنَفَاء, and I'll explain that inshaAllah. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and that they would establish their salah. وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and that they would give zakah. وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ, and this is the correct and the right religion. Hearing this with the word حُنَفَاء, if there is a person who's going down a crooked path and he's getting lost and he's going further and further away, you know how maybe a wife telling her husband, you're getting lost, and they keep going further down the crooked path. If they were to take the guidance and go straight on the correct road, that would be al-hanaf. That would be the correct straight road that gets the person to the destination. And this is Islam. Not the crookedness of those small paths that will lead a person astray, but it's hunafa in this correct and straight way. And so you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that they weren't commanded with anything except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, establish salah, give the zakah, and that is الدين القيمة. The thing that made them reject the Prophet ﷺ was the insincerity to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Those who accepted the Prophet when he came were sincere to Allah and they accepted it. Those who were insincere, those who were just trying to maintain their, trying to stay the president of the community, or trying to maintain their position, or trying to maintain their tribalism, because a lot of the Jews that rejected the Prophet ﷺ, they rejected him because he wasn't from their lineage. That he was an Arab, and he wasn't from the Jewish lineage, and they rejected him because of that. Because of the tribalism. And in that, they were being insincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were doing it because of their whims. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they were commanded to worship Allah mukhlisin, sincerely for Allah. So that when the Prophet would come, regardless of whether they liked it, this tribe or that tribe, or whether they would have the position or they wouldn't have the position, they would follow that Prophet ﷺ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. That not only was it power, it's not that they were just in charge of the people worshipped them. The people worshipped them. Adi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was Christian, became Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he read this verse, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we never worshipped the priests. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him. He said that didn't they make things that Allah made haram, didn't they make it halal? And you listened to them? And he said, yes. He said, didn't they make halal haram? And you listened to them? And he said, yes. قَالَ فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَتُهُمْ. That this was their worshipping. And that was their intoxicating power, that they could make haram halal and halal haram. And you see here, in a place like America, this is happening. There could be something that's haram that they've made halal, such as alcohol, or al-liwat, homosexuality, or something like that. And they'll say, it's halal. And a person that follows and says, yes, I agree, as long as you know the Americans say it's okay, that's a mode of worshipping. It's a mode of worshipping. And on the opposite side, them making halal, haram, if there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it permissible for a man to marry more than one wife, and they say, no, you're not allowed to do that. As long as she's your girlfriend and not your wife, then it's okay. This is also, a person who agrees with that is worshipping them in that sense. Something very profound. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one of the ayah talking about the people of Mecca, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ. Do they have partners that they're associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you'll notice the word here is coming from shirk. شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ. They made laws for the people which مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, when Allah did not authorize, did not give permission. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers it shirk. That a person would take someone, this person saying this is halal and this is haram, and someone listens to them, and they're lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a way of worshipping that person. A way of worshipping. And that shows you the seriousness of someone speaking about the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. And one point that I benefited from, verse 5, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they weren't commanded except anything except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and establish their salah. Notice, even when we go outside and we pray and there's, you know, maybe non-Muslims walking by, there should be no shyness for a believer when they pray, because they realize that they're not the only one that was commanded to pray. All of them were commanded to pray. The Jews and the Christians were commanded to do salah. So if you're praying and they're like, oh, you're funny, what are you doing? Just realize that you're doing what Allah wants you to do, and they're not doing what Allah told them to do. And so they were commanded to pray just like we were commanded to pray. And so it's an honor for the believer that they're saying that, here I am, it's the time for salah, and I'm praying. And the Hanif way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because a lot of times people get into a lot of details about, you know, when they're doing their mission of Islam. And I've noticed from the people that were successful in their da'wah have gone to the Quranic way of giving da'wah. And here you'll see this is the formula. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, to establish the salah, and to take care of the society, wa yu'ti zakah. Wa dhalika deenul qayyimah. Main point of a da'wah mission that the person should be going forward with. And like I said in the khutbah, and I'll mention it here again, that we just keep hammering issues like Islam is the greatest civilization, Islam liberated women and stuff like that. You won't see that in the verses. They come up here and there, but out of surahs after surahs and juz after juz, you have to pick out an ayah here, an ayah there, that the person is commenting. But our whole da'wah mission is based on that. Did anybody ever come at the end of Islam liberated women lecture and say, yes, I believe in the truth of Islam, and they come up and become Muslim? Usually it ends up in a fight. You know, someone provokes Surah Jahaj and then you know, and then a big fight starts off, and he's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And it just ends like that. But here you see the tenets of what our mission is and what we explain to the people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. That those who disbelieve from Ahl al-Kitab, that took the path of kufr, والمشركين and the mushrikeen في نار جهنم are in the fire of hell خالدين فيها that they will abide therein forever أولئك that these are هم شر البرية they're the most wretched of creations they are the worst and most wicked of creations and this shows you that last part there the true wickedness of what of that path of kufr is. A lot of times, people will say, and in Muslim countries, there are Christians that are there, such as in Egypt and other places, and there are Jews, in fact, and they for sure know about Islam. I'm not talking about people here, they may not hear about Islam, but over there, and then they have these new things, you know, like the interfaith, and it's okay as long as they're Christians and Jews and they're following some scriptures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are sharrul bariyah, that they are the most wretched of creation for this path that they've taken. So it's not a simple thing that they chose this path. It's hated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a Muslim has to realize this, and what's hated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hated to us. And here in sharrul bariyah, if you remember back when I was saying like people that do like a, just flip through the pages of the Quran and put their finger on certain words, and then named their children after that. And I said, these people had named their child Sharr al-Bariyah. Right? Because they like those Ism al-Murakkab things. And it's obviously they did that out of ignorance for what Sharr al-Bariyah means. Right? So a person needs to be careful when they name their children. Because one of them was Sharr al-Bariyah and the other one was Khayr al-Bariyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who believed and did righteous works, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ That those people are the best of creation, and the most noblest of creations. Who knows if our actions are accepted or not? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. So no one says that, oh, this Muslim is the best of creation. No, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting from him or her, then they are the best of creation. But they only know that when they've died. They know if they're the best of creation or not. Or news of what the Prophet ﷺ told us of those righteous people, then we know for sure that they are khayrul bariyah. So one thing that's interesting, you know how they talk about in Islam, like the non-Muslims will say that the man is better than the woman in Islam. And it's not a general rule because someone like Aisha radiallahu anha is better than millions upon millions of the kuffar men. Because it's taqwa. It has nothing to do with male or female, but it's how much someone fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so no Muslim would say that a non-Muslim man is better than a Muslim woman. Any Muslim woman is better than a non-Muslim man. And it's all by the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person is raised or put down. Allah azza wa jal only knows who it is that's fearing him subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ So you see there in that verse another example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the wretchedness of the path that the kuffar took, but that's not the end of the speech. Right? Because what might happen is, maybe a person of Ahlul Kitab listens to it, and then, you know, an eagle bursts out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the person the choice here. Verse 7 is those who believed and did righteous works, they are the best of creation. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ That the best people in Jahiliyyah automatically become the best people in Islam. إِذَا فَقِهُوا If they learn about the deen and they practice the deen. So there may be a good Christian who does righteous works and so on. All of that good work, when they accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, goes in their good account and they become the best of the Muslims. They become the best when they surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, جزاؤهم, their reward. جزاؤهم عند ربهم with their Lord. جنات عدن. And here it says the garden. عدن, paradise. And inshallah, I'll explain right now. Because I think you've heard the word Eden a lot, correct? Does anybody know what Eden means? It means what? Paradise. It says Eden, paradise. The word عدن, it means a place of residence. جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ عَدْنٍ means a place of residence. Because you will see gardens. And, oh, they look really pretty, but go try and sleep a night in that garden. You know, the thorns in your back and the bugs crawling over you. But these are jannat, But it's not like the jannat of the dunya. They're places of residence. So that beauty not only is the beautiful in the sight, but it's beauty in its residence also, and its luxury. So that's the word jannatu adnin. Jannatu adnin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, from underneath it the rivers flow, khalidina fiha, that they're living eternally in it, abada, forever, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is something very important. The pleasure has to come from both sides. I don't know if we mentioned here, but in paradise, the person, not only would they love to enter paradise, but paradise also loves for them to come in. Right? And not only are these people, do they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah azza wa jalla loves them also. Because it's easy for someone to claim, oh, I love the Prophet. And then they'll go and do bid'ahs, or they'll go and do that. The question is, does the Prophet really love you for what you're doing? Or does he hate you? Or someone is reciting Qur'an and they'll say, oh, I love the Qur'an so much. But they may not practice it. Maybe the Qur'an is cursing them. رُبَّ تَالٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنِ يَلْعَنُ. As one of the companions said, that perhaps someone will recite the Qur'an and the Qur'an is cursing them. And so, from the top, a person may claim to love Allah, and maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates them. So it doesn't come from one direction here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah azza wa jalla. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. And you'll see that is the dua we make when the companion's name is mentioned. And we say رضي الله عنهم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. ذَلِكَ, that this reward, لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ, for those who feared their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this surah is called Surah Al-Bayyinah, because it made clear the true religion from the falsehood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He Himself was the bayyinah, the clear evidence that distinguished the truth from the falsehood. The bayyinah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari and Muslim, and this is mentioned in when it came to this surah, that Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's one of the qurra, the reciters. And when they would say qurra in the past, they meant the ulama. They meant the most knowledgeable of the companions. Ubay ibn Ka'b was one of those most knowledgeable of the Qur'an. And so the Prophet ﷺ came and he said to Ubay radiallahu anhu, Allah commanded me to recite to you لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ, meaning Allah commanded me to recite two surah bayyinah. And so Ubay radiallahu anhu, he said, did Allah mention me by name? The Lord of the worlds, who created everything in the universe, did He mention my name? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And he said, رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the Lord of the world mentioned me. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And then Ubay radiallahu anhu, he started crying from the happiness of that news from the Prophet ﷺ. That was mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. رضي الله تعالى